Et si vous ne comprenez pas le français, voici la porte, vous pouvez rentrer à la maison. What did I just say? Oh, I thought I was speaking in tongues. Okay. Well, yes. Being decided, send a me song na table say na table Lazar. Think Tower Yeso Christo. A congo song light it in song can be ma puri. Pusipa pishishi pusipa mukar. Crazy, huh? Which one is that? I don't know. Ni oma. Ni ho. Tacha ho. Ni chung worry, eh? Oh, lo, ta timpitong. Okay. So today we decide to speak in different tongues. And I got no interpreter in all this, not just one person. I thought my wife could even get one of the things that I said in my own language, and she wasn't able to get it. So God is so amazing that he created us and he's given us languages. Amen. And I want to begin today by telling you a story. There were these two friends. They went for a crusade, an evangelical crusade. And in that crusade, the preacher's focus was to have people pray in tongues and have people receive the gift of tongues. And these two guys responded to the outer call without knowing what they were going in for. And they took them in a little room and they started praying for them that they should receive the gift of tongues. 1 hour, they didn't receive the gift of tongues. 2 hours, they didn't receive the gift of tongues. 3 hours, they didn't receive the gift of tongues, and they wouldn't let them go. 4 hours later, they didn't receive the gift of tongues. And these guys who were praying for them wouldn't let them go until they speak in tongues. And so this guy turned to his friend, and he was speaking in his dialect, and he decided to tell his friend, you know, we need to fake this thing so these guys can let us go. And so he started speaking in his native language to his friend. And those guys who were praying for them, they jumped up and they started celebrating. Oh, they've received the gift of tongues. They did not receive the gift of tongues. He was actually saying something to his friend in a dialect. And that wasn't tongues. And when Jesus rose from the dead 40 days later, Jesus met with the apostles. And he gave them a command to wait. And then 10 days later, on the 50th day after his resurrection, after the Passover feast, it was Pentecost. 40 plus 10 is 50. And the Greek word for Pentecost is actually the 50th count. So this guy met on the 50th day, and they received the gift that God promised, that Jesus promised, and he gave them that gift. And so we're going this morning to look at why did he give them a gift? And the title today is All in One Accord in One Place. All in One Accord in One Place. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you bring clarity to your word. Give us ears to hear you. And not to hear me, Jesus. I put myself behind the cross, and I pray you speak to your people through me. And that this place, God, will be filled with you. Take away anything from us that will stand as a hindrance from receiving your word. And may your power have its way. In the name of Jesus Christ. How many of you have played soccer before? Soccer? Oh, I can see all the kids raising their hands. So in Cameroon, when I used to play soccer in elementary school and in high school, we used to do what we call camping. So when we have a game tomorrow, all the players will be in one place, that the night before the match. So you're not sleeping in your home. We spend the night in one place. And all of us, including our coach, we will be together talking about the game tomorrow, talking about the strategies and how we can win. And we were all together. We ate the same kind of food, and we were having each other's back. And in most cases, when we go to play, we always win. Because we spend time together, talking to one another. And what we usually do is, we tell people, don't be selfish with the ball. So when you get the ball, don't dribble by yourself and try to score by yourself. Remember that we are a team. And one of the things the coach will always tell us is, always listen to me and obey. And if you don't listen to the coach and obey, you're going out and he's bringing somebody else. And it was so effective that the spirit of oneness, spending a night together, sleeping on the floor and talking about the game the next day was so effective that each time we go to play, we always win. It was so effective. And I look at it, Jesus was with his apostles, the disciples, those who were following him. And when Jesus died, it seems all hope was gone. People were saying the king that came to reign is gone. But all hope was not gone. Jesus came back to life as he promised. He came back to life. And 40 days after presenting himself with infallible proofs, he presented himself to the people. But then he told them that they should wait. They should wait for the gift. They should wait for the promise. They should wait for this counselor, this new teacher that is coming. He asked them specifically to wait in a particular place. And I'm so glad that Pastor Ted, for the past months, been spending a lot of time, energy, talking about togetherness, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about souls that are at stake. And last week was so amazing to me because when Jesus was saying, greater works than this will you do, he wasn't talking to an individual. He was talking to who? The church. He was talking to the disciples who gathered around him. And he was saying that greater works than this. And I love the way Pastor Ted illustrated that. Jesus had 2 feet. But when you put the 70 together, you put, how many feet do you have? 100 and what? 40, right? And if we want to do greater works from last week, we need to be together. Amen? It is not about me saying, I want to do my works for Jesus, and John can do his works for Jesus, and James can do his works for Jesus. It's about the church, the body of Jesus, coming together and doing the work of Jesus. Amen? So let's get to Acts chapter 1. We'll read from verse 4 to 8, and then Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. And verse 8, it comes in with a conjunction. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. Pentecost, like I said, it stands for the 50th count. And this way, people sitting with Jesus, when Jesus came back to life, Thomas doubted, Many of them were gripped with fear, and they were asking a lot of questions in their minds. There was a lot of confusion. What is this guy up to? And I believe that they asked questions that they did not get the answers before Jesus departed. And so at one point, Jesus met with them, and this is what he said. Jesus gave this command, do not leave. Do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise that the Father promised you. And Pastor Ted already explained that they waited, they were together, they were praying, they were waiting on God. But when Jesus said that, do not leave, he added something, do not leave. He said, when the promise comes, he will baptize you. The Holy Spirit will come and baptize you. And I'm sure that if Jesus has said that to me, I myself will be confused. And so look at the next question that they asked Jesus. When they told Jesus that, they asked Jesus, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So there was something about the restoration of the kingdom when King Nebuchadnezzar captured the children of Israel and take them to exile. The temple was destroyed. And there was this hope that the kingdom someday will be fully restored. We've looked at the book of Ezekiel, especially 36 and 37. The whole book of Ezekiel is about the prophecies God gave to Ezekiel, to his people. And it was about the restoration of the kingdom, restoring his people back to where they belong. And Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 36, Zechariah, it talks about the pouring of God's spirit to his people when the restoration time comes. And these people thought about that because when Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Spirit, the first thing they thought was, is this a fulfillment of the promise? I read that it was where they were in exile, it was just about 700 miles away from Jerusalem. 700 miles away from Jerusalem, and Ezekiel was among the exiles. Ezekiel was with them, and God so chose him, and he was speaking to him. And they were asking this question. It wasn't a foolish question. And secondly, the reason they asked this question was because in the Old Testament, you will hear about the Spirit of God coming on people, leaders. And that when the Spirit of God come upon leaders, they would do great works. A great example is Samson. All that he did was because of the Spirit of God. And Samuel is saying that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be a different person. And so these guys, looking at Jesus, now Jesus is back to life, and their hope is that Jesus is going to be the political king that they've been praying for. They've been waiting for a king, they've been waiting for a politician to take over and lead them and restore the kingdom. And so when they hear about the pouring of the Holy Spirit, they thought about Ezekiel, they thought about Samson, they thought about Samuel, they thought about all the people that the Spirit of God came upon them. And each time the Spirit of God came upon somebody in the Old Testament, that person was going to be a leader. That person was used by God. And I'm sure they were thinking, when Jesus becomes the political leader, the king, they were already campaigning in their minds. And they were saying, I will be the senator. I will be the congressman. I will be the tax collector. And so they were already campaigning in their minds. They were already choosing their positions when Jesus finally says, it is time to restore the kingdom. But it was so frustrating that Jesus shattered their dreams. When they asked Jesus, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were saying, Jesus, are you ready to take the mantle so that we can become your leaders? We can become those who will sit next to you and judge with you and lead with you and be politicians around you. That was their mentality. That was their dream. That was their vision. But this is what Jesus said. It is frustrating when you think you want to become something and then somebody comes around you and say, hold on. That's not what we're saying here. And I love the way Jesus addressed that question. He addressed it so nicely and in a loving way. And Jesus said in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the date the Father has set by his own authority. Verse 8 is so important. But you will receive power. Amen? You will receive power. I love that, the way Jesus answered that. It is not for you to know when God is going to do this, but I have an assignment for you. I have one thing I want to give you to be concerned about. I want you to be concerned that soon and very soon you will receive power. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I want to pause here a little bit and correct. There's a crazy heresy out there that the Holy Spirit is a force of God. Have you heard that? The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not the force of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a person, amen? And that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he gives you power. So the Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not a force that people can manipulate and say, I want the force, I want the force. He is a person, and when he comes on you, this is what Jesus told him. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So Jesus is saying, hold on with this kingdom thing. Hold on with this political talk. I have work for you to do. And he says, you will receive power. Amen? I love the way he puts it, because he didn't say that I want you to go out there and be my witnesses. In the course of doing that, you will receive power. He started by saying what? You will receive power. It's the same thing when he was giving the Great Commission in Matthew 28. The Bible says that Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven. Amen? Sleep. All authority in heaven. Not some authority. All authority in heaven and on earth and beneath has been given to me. If Pastor Ted comes to you and say, I want you to go to Super One and preach the gospel, so keep going, get going now, I think I would go with some reluctance. But if he comes to me and lay his hands on me and pray for me and say, receive the blessings of God, receive the courage of God, and now I want you to go, I will be running out of that door knowing that somebody got my back. And this Jesus came to them. He didn't just kick them out into the world and say, go and preach the gospel. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he's laying the foundation on which we will stand to proclaim the gospel. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. In Greek, that therefore go is in a participle form. He said, as you go. So it is not a one-time going, it's every day as you go, make disciples. So wherever you are found, at your job site, you need to be making disciples. So the important thing is that the foundation on which we go out to proclaim is that we have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. That makes me excited, and that makes me want to go out every day to tell somebody that Jesus is risen, Jesus is love, Jesus is alive. And this is what he said to them. Let's get back to Acts chapter 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Another conjunction comes in. He said, and you will speak in tongues. Hello? You have the same version like me? And you will perform miracles. Is that the same version? It says, and you will cast out demons. That is not what it says. What does it say? Let's read together. It says, when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it says, and you will be my witnesses. A witness is a messenger. A messenger doesn't go without the blessing of the sender. And each time a messenger is going, that messenger goes in obedience and follow the exact instruction of the sender. And Jesus came to them and said, when you receive this power, there is one thing I want you to be doing. All the other things will fall in place as you do these things. Miracles will happen, but miracles is not the primary purpose for which I am giving you power. Speaking in tongues is not the primary purpose for which I am giving you power. Healing is not the primary purpose. The primary purpose for which I am giving you power is that you will be my witnesses. Amen. Jesus resurrected in Jerusalem, and he was just a couple of miles away from his tomb. And Jesus wanted them to begin in Jerusalem because he wanted those who doubted his resurrection to hear it from his disciples. But you know what? These were fearful people because at this point they were confused. They didn't know what was happening in their lives. They didn't know if Jesus was going to be the king. They were confused. And persecution, if they could persecute Jesus, how more of these guys? And Jesus looked at them and he said, I get it. I know you are weak. I know you're fearful. I know you're timid. But I'm giving you something. The power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? The power, when it comes on you, you become a new person. When it comes on you, you will stand before the president and proclaim Jesus without any fear of contradiction. When the power comes on you, you will stand before people that you will not stand ordinary. And you will tell them about the love of Jesus. You will tell them about sin. Because the power in you is working. It is not you, but the power in you is enabling you to say things that will prick their minds and they will hear God speaking through you. And so Jesus knew that if these guys go out on their own, they will be killed. They will not even have the courage to share the gospel. And he says, this is what the Father promised. The power. When you become a believer and the power of God resides in you, the power of God come upon you, you will be able to look at your father, your uncle, your spouse, your children, and tell them that Jesus died for their sins. And you will not be afraid. It is the power's work. The power is doing it. The power of God, we just need to submit. But this thing, if there is no obedience, if there is no commitment, if there is no understanding of the promise, there is no power. If there is no understanding of what God is asking you to do, if there is no obedience to that calling, if there is no commitment, if you're not in the right place at the right time, there is no power. You know, a lot of people want to get blessings from God, but they don't want to follow the steps God's given them. A lot of people want to say, God, give me, and we've heard this in many sermons from here, give me, give me, give me. And God is saying that I want to give you so badly what you're asking for, but this is what I want you to do. And we say, God, no, I don't want to wait. 10 days was the time they needed to wait. How many of us will wait today? How many of us are even waiting right now? How many of us have understood the promise? When we understand the promise, we will obey. When we obey, we will be committed. And when we are committed, we will be at the right place at the right time. You know, sometimes it breaks my heart that people say, you're checking my life. Why will I not check your life? Because you were in the wrong place. Hello? If you are in the wrong place, somebody got to check you. Because we are one. And if we are one, I should be able to check my sister. I should be able to check my brother. I am not judging you. But if you say, I am judging you, I am checking you because your sin is pulling all of us down. It is not about your life. It is about the body of Jesus Christ. That when one finger is hurt, the entire body hurts. So I'm going to check you. If you're not in the right place, if you're not doing the right thing at the right time, somebody's going to check you. So when Pastor Ted checked you and called you and said, what happened? I didn't see you in prayer meeting. Don't get offended. When your brothers check on you, don't get offended. And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Beginning there. So where is your Jerusalem? Okay, I believe that when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, God is calling me to begin with my family. I will not stand here preaching if I have not preached to my family. You will not go out to evangelize if you are running away from evangelizing to your own family people. Jesus wants you to begin in your Jerusalem. He wants you to go to Judea. He wants you to go to Samaria. He wants you to go to Haiti. He wants you to go to Africa. He wants you to go to the interior parts of the world. You might not go physically, but this is what he was saying. He wants you to begin here. And you know why? He wants you to go to those dark places because you got the power. Amen? He will not send you into a lion's den without giving you the power. You have the power. Jesus is confident that you can do it. He is calling on you. He is challenging us that as we have received this power, it was not meant for a show. It was not meant for performing of miracles and to have a big name, a miracle worker. It was not meant for speaking in tongues only. It was the primary purpose was that we should win the loss. We should bring people to his saving knowledge. And by the way, the kind of tongues I saw on Pentecost Day was that the people spoke a language. Amen? They spoke a language that another person was able to hear and understand. The Bible says that they were God-fearing. You know, this time, it was a time that people came all over for the Passover feast. And so they were still in town. It says, in town, verse 5, there were a lot of God-fearing people. And they spoke different languages. And so when the Spirit came upon them, when it was Pentecost Day and the Spirit came upon them, it enables them to speak in a language that those people will hear. And that was tongues. Hello? Shekirabarabarushikamarakata. I can do that. I don't know. I can do that. I can frame and coin some words and some phrases that I can say. Don't deceive yourself. The gift of tongues, by the way, still exists. Amen? I've prayed, God, give me this gift of tongues. I have not received it yet. I badly want the gift of tongues. I want to see how it feels like. But I am not going to lie to you that I speak in tongues. I am not going to phrase some key words that I say them all the time and call it tongues. Those things happen. But the Bible says that when there is no interpreter, you should do what? Zip it. Go to your room and pray because God can hear it. But if you are here and you want to pray in tongues here and I cannot hear what you're saying and I cannot say an amen to that, it doesn't edify the body. It doesn't edify me. I praise and I envy people who have the gift of tongues. And I'm praying that someday God should give me the gift of tongues. But I will not lie to you. And by the way, speaking in tongues is not a proof that you receive the Holy Spirit. That is the doctrine that is out there. And so chapter 2 of Acts, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They were all together. You remember the soccer team, the way we used to win our games? Spend the night together. They were all together in one place. So where do you go to on Sunday? Are you at the right place where God wants you to be? What do you do on Wednesday when the church is coming together to pray? Are you at the right place where God wants you to be? I believe that it was not like they agree in everything, they are comfortable with one another, but the command was wait. Wait and wait together. If we want the power of the Holy Spirit to come anew in this church, number one, we need to understand the promise. Understanding the promise is key. And the promise is that we have to be together and that God will send out His Spirit. The promises of God doesn't just come like that. God is a God of order, amen? He's not a God of disorder. He said, you will wait, and when you wait, this will happen. So we need to understand the promise. We need to understand what God is saying. And number two, we need to obey. They did not say, okay, God, I heard you and I want this Holy Spirit, but you know what? I got some business to go take care of so I can come the next day and wait. 10 days, they were together praying. Can we as a church wait together? If we really want the power of God, can we wait and wait together? You know, sometimes I come with my worship team on Wednesday and we just get to like last week, we didn't really have a topic to talk on. But we talk about food. We talk about food. That was crazy, interesting fellowship. We were waiting together. We talk about organic food. We talk about chemicals in food. We talk about food. How much you can eat. It was fellowship. We were together. Amen? We were together. And we need to obey and be together if we want the Holy Spirit to come. And the third thing is that we must be committed. There are people who want to be full-time warriors and they want to be committed part-time. The calling that God has given us is warfare, and we need to be in all the way, not partially. We need to be committed. It says they were committed to one another. They were together. And I believe that they were committed to one another. They were committed to God. And it was not a partial commitment. And the fourth thing is that you must be in the right place at the right time. You must be at the right place at the right time. It said they were together in one place. And the Spirit of God came upon them. I drive around the streets and I see people begging for food, begging for money. I see a lot of kids that have no hope about their future because their parents made some bad choices. I see a lot of prisoners that don't have hope of ever getting back their life and rebuilding a future because of bad choices. I got a text from the pastor in Grace Fellowship this morning. It broke my heart because he told me about one of the youth leader that is pregnant. And it broke my heart because I've been preaching, I've been talking to the father of this girl for so many years. And if his daughter is pregnant, it's because the father wasn't working in the Lord. I see a lot of drug addicts. I see a lot of people committing suicide. I see a lot of, I don't mean to hurt you with this, but I see a lot of single parents with children that have no father to take care of them. Bad choices. You have a dream? God is giving you a dream this morning. If your dream is not about these people, if your dream is not about these Samaritan ladies, if your dream is not about these drug addicts, if your dream is not about people in your family that are lost, I want you to step back, think again. Let your dream be to win this lost people to Jesus, for Jesus Christ. Hamilton alone got a lot of hopeless people. The Valley County got a lot of hopeless people. Will you be willing to say, this is my dream to win these people? Are you willing this morning to say, God, I am ready to receive this power so that it will enable me to speak truth to these people? The power is always available for those who are willing to do what he asks them to do, weakness. If it is your dream this morning, which is my greatest dream, if it is your dream this morning, I have a gift for you. Are you ready for the gift? Are we ready? If it is your dream to win these people in the Bitterroot Valley, in Montana, in America, and out of this nation, the gift for you is that you already have the gift. Amen? You already have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that when Jesus was talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was the first time ever that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell in them permanently. Before then, the Holy Spirit was there, but it never dwelt in them permanently. So they didn't need to walk around with Jesus and see Jesus do these things. Jesus is actually saying that the Holy Spirit, when it comes and resides in you permanently, you will be able to do these same things that you've seen me done. So the things that Jesus was doing, he was promising that they would do, and they would do greater. But you cannot do those things if you're not fully in, if you're not committed, if you're not obeying, and if you're not submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do the song Holy Spirit. And I'm not praying for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. But if you've been ignorant that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you, I want you to renew it this morning. The power of God is there, is available for us to turn this valley upside down and bring the lost to him. So I want to ask you, is this your dream? I assume I am preaching to people who know Jesus, who have surrendered to Jesus. If this is your dream, and you want more of the Holy Spirit to come upon you and enable you to do this, I will ask you, I will invite you to come forward. If this is your dream. But if you think that this valley is okay, just stay where you are. If you see these lost people, if you see this drug addict, and you don't have the courage to go to them, you need more of his spirit. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to destroy your fear. And if you're coming up front, I don't want you to sing that song. Just ask God to pour out his spirit on you. Pour out his spirit on you.